All right, everyone have a Bible. Either a Bible, iPhone, or whatever, where you've got the Bible. Used to be years ago, that's what I'd say, does everyone have a Bible? Raise it up. Well, now they got iPads, iPhones, I mean, everything in the world. But I still like the written word that's in this book that is called the Bible. I like to carry it. Not that it does any more than what an iPhone could do, but you young people won't be tempted when you hear a notification on your phone to look over and see what it is and who it is and whatever, and then answer them back, okay? So today we're going to cover some interesting things. I couldn't give this a name that would be particular necessary to the occasion, so I just called the title of this My Christmas Message. Is that okay? So this, and if you picked up my lesson on the way in, well, then you know a little bit about it. But we're going to cover some interesting things today. There are three things that speak of the life of Jesus. Let me ask a question. How many has ever taken the time since you've been a Christian to sit down and read the Gospels dealing with the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ? Okay, I mean, hopefully the majority of you have. A lot of people don't like to raise their hands, but hopefully you have, because his ministry is just absolutely tremendous and so full of revelation. So as we look at the life of Jesus Christ, there are three things that we want to look at. We want to look at his birth, we want to look at his ministry, and we want to look at his, and I couple these together, his death, burial, and resurrection. So this morning, just a quick introduction into these three things. As we think of the birth of Christ, why are we here today? Well, we're here to worship God, we know that, but also it's in celebration of our Savior being born. Now, whether he was born on December the 25th, no one knows. I doubt very seriously if he was. But this is a day that has been set apart by the Christian community that we would celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever we think of the ministry, his ministry that encompasses the last 3.5 years of his life here on earth was to serve as an example, a testimony, an example as to what ministry should look like today. That we're going to be talking a lot about today. And don't get nervous about the length of the sermon, all right? Because these are going to be important things that I think will bless you. Here's the third thing, his death, burial, and resurrection. These are the major theme of his last days here on earth. We often refer to it, some do as Easter. I recognize it as Resurrection Sunday. And whenever we come on Resurrection Sunday, mostly of what is said, the songs that we sing and whatever, is a depiction of what happened that day that he was resurrected from the dead. What a glorious thing that took place, because without his resurrection, now think about this, without his resurrection, we'd be serving a dead God. How many know that he's alive? He's alive today. Now, What I want this to be is a Christmas message that encompasses all three of these areas. And these are the things that we're going to be talking about. Because the life of Jesus is more, now listen to me, the life of Jesus is more than just about his birth. It's more than just about his ministry and his resurrection. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying all of these speak of a price that he was willing to pay for all of mankind to be what he desired us to be in fulfilling his plan and his purpose here on this earth. How many of you know that God has a plan and purpose for you? For everyone that's here, he has a plan and purpose. So what I'm trying to say is that his birth, his ministry, his death, his burial, resurrection was not for his benefit, but it was for our benefit. Stop and think about that. So this is what I want you to see this morning in this message. So let's look at the birth of a Savior. I mean, what are the chances that hundreds of years before something being prophesied and actually happening and come to pass? I met People say, well, you know, it looks like a pretty much of an impossibility, but it's not with God. We look back in Isaiah 9:6, and you're familiar with this. Here's what it says. Listen to it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This was said hundreds of years before it ever became a fulfillment. Now listen to me. This is who Jesus wanted the world to see him as. Now we know that it turned out different. We find that even the Jews couldn't believe that the baby that was born in the manger could be the Christ that was to come and had been prophesied in Isaiah. They thought he should be born in a mansion somewhere, not in a stable someplace. Stop and think about that. God had a plan beyond anything that you and I could ever imagine. This is who Jesus wanted to be to the world. He wanted to be the Savior of this world. So as we look in Matthew chapter 1, and I feel that I need to read this, verses 18 through 25 is the fulfillment of this. And here's what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, the prophet Isaiah, it's talking about what we just read. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. When this prophecy was given in Isaiah, I want you to know there were a lot of doubters in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And yet again, I think back to as early as Genesis 3:15, whenever it was prophesied, it said the seed of the woman would do what? Would bruise the head of the serpent. Do you know that Satan did everything within his power to try to kill the baby Jesus? You've read it many times, and it's been portrayed even here in certain situations where we've had at Christmas time, to where we have celebrated the birth of Christ. He tried everything he could, even using King Herod to kill all the babies, and yet it was all in vain because God had a plan. What I like about this plan is that you and I are very much a part of this plan. I get excited whenever I read this. I can read it in prophecy hundreds of years before. I can read it as early as Genesis. A lot of them didn't totally understand that, but we certainly understand it today, that the seed of the woman would come and bruise the head of the serpent. That is a fatal blow. There's things about Jesus and his ministry, folks, that we need to know, that I think that we don't even have the depth that I believe God wants us to have an understanding of the ultimate price that he paid whenever he came to this earth. Look at his ministry. The ministry of Jesus. At the end of Matthew chapter 2 and beginning of chapter 3 are the years of him growing up. You know, there's just a few verses in between there, but not very much is even said about him as a young lad growing up. We do know at 12 years of age he was debating with the doctors of law and whatever. They were astounded at the wisdom that he had. But that's about all that we know. We know Josephus has written some things and whatever. He was a historian of that time, but really we don't know too much about any of his life until when? Until the third chapter of the book of Matthew. And it begins with the baptism of Jesus that begun his earthly ministry. The earthly ministry of Jesus was more than just the message he preached. It was more than the people that he healed. It was more than the demons that he cast out. It was more than those that he raised from the dead. It was a living example. Now listen to me, this is what you got to catch a hold of. It was a living example of what ministry should look like, and a promise of power, of transfer of power to you and I, that we can totally and completely fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ the way he planned for us to fulfill it. See, you're included in this. So as we read about his birth, we read about his ministry. Listen, the ministry of Jesus means a lot to me, because whenever I first began to pastor almost 50 years ago, I was really hungry. I wanted to know something. I was a pastor that was ignorant of a lot of things. I got messages I preached back then I'd never preach again because they weren't right. Amen. I'll go back and look at them as a reminder. God, thank you for the wisdom that you've given me through the years and whatever, where I can have an understanding of what your word really is. But he was a living example of us. So I got the Bible out. I began to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I wanted to know how Jesus did this. I wanted to know how he dealt with demons, how he dealt with the sick and the afflicted. And the marvelous thing is, I began to read all of this, I realized very quickly in the scripture that his perfect will was a transfer of promise and power to you and I, that whenever he was gone, that you and I could continue to fulfill the ministry that he started here on earth. He was our example. He was our testimony. And here's where the problem comes in. I don't think most Christians really realize this. Jesus came not only to be our Savior, but our teacher as well as what we are to be doing in fulfilling his ministry. Now, I want you to think about that. There's a number of scriptures you'll notice on my, and I don't expect you to know all of these and whatever, but there's a number of scriptures that I list there that'll point us very quickly what our responsibility is. You know, we marvel at the ministry of Jesus. We marvel at all that he has done, but you know, everything that he done was an example to you and I, that these are the things you and I ought to be doing today. Starts off here in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always until the end of the world," or the end of the age. Then we see in John 14, 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you believe in me," how many believe in Jesus? Do you believe in his works? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you believe in me," Jesus said this, "if you believe in me and the works that I do," listen to it, "ye shall do these works also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." When I read that, I'm telling you, I get blessed. And I remember back when I started in ministry, I read that, I thought, man, this is absolutely incredible. This is the way God sees us. He didn't save us so we can come to church on Sunday and sit and hear a message and then go out and do nothing and just and say, well, it was a wonderful time of music and message and whatever. God wants us to live the message. Good place and time to say amen. What about Mark 16, verses 17 and 18? He says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Well, you're looking at a believer. And I pray I'm looking at believers out there. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils." Glory be to God. If there's ever a time the devil needs to be cast out of homes, it's today. Amen. See, you're real excited about that. Out of your children's lives and whatever. "You'll cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll take up serpents." Not just saying if you got bitten by a serpent, like the Apostle Paul when he was on the Isle of Melita or Malta, and he was out there gathering wood because they had been shipwrecked, and he reached down, a viper grabbed a hold of him. Guess what he did? He shook it off. I like it. He shook it off. And all the natives on that island said, this man will swell up in his body and he'll die. No, he shook it off. Says, if you drink any deadly thing, that doesn't mean that we're going to go out here and drink stupid stuff. It's not talking about that. It's talking about if you accidentally drink something that could be poisonous, you can have immunity to it. Well, I mean, that's pretty powerful, isn't it, John? And then he said, and ye shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That is a responsibility that we have. Now, I've preached things like this before, and I've told people this is what we ought to be doing, laying hands on the sick. They said, listen, I can barely take care of myself, much less lay hands on someone. That's not where God wants us to be. What about Acts 1:8? It says, well, I mean, you talk about power, and ye shall receive power, and you're going to be witnesses. Where at? He said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and Choctaw. He said the uttermost parts of the earth. That includes Choctaw. We're to be a witness. What kind of witness? We ought to be witnessing the power of God in our lives. The power that God has instilled us with. That he's given to us so we can fulfill the ministry that he's given us. And then I like 10:19. Well, this is one, if I ever deal with demon possession, this is one of the first scriptures I quote. Listen to, he says, I give unto you authority to tread upon the serpent, the scorpion, over all the power of the enemy. And he said, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Amen. Glory be to God. When you go into a situation, you could go in with full confidence that God is going to back you up. I like Matthew because a lot of people have trouble with, thinking, well, you know, I met God. You really mean God is going to really use me and I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and all of this? This is what the Bible says. Here's what Matthew 10:7-8 says. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now listen to him. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. This is the responsibility of the church today. Listen, we're in the middle of something huge in this world today. It's not just here in Oklahoma. It's not just Choctaw. It's not just America. It's everywhere. God needs this army that we were singing about to rise up. And as we begin to rise up, I believe the power of God is going to begin to move. And I think there's going to be some tremendous healings that's going to take place. I believe that with all my heart. Now let's talk about, because it gets better, let's talk about his death and burial and resurrection. His death was not the end, and his burial was not the end. His resurrection was the beginning and fulfilling, now listen to this, all of his promises to us. And then he said, I'm going to go and sit at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to make intercession for you. Otherwise, he's going to intercede in our behalf. Amen. Whenever I'm praying over something and praying for someone and whatever, I see Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's making intercession. Whenever we pray a prayer of faith, I believe that Jesus is there to intercede for us. We serve a living Savior, which encompasses more than just what the average Christian can even realize. But because of his resurrection, all of his promises stand firm. Is that scriptural? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are what? They're yea and amen. It's not like, well, maybe today. No, or I could do it. No, it's yea, it's yes. And it's amen. No longer should we be living in doubt and unbelief and fear. We have been fully equipped to stand victorious over everything that Satan throws at us. You ever read the promises of God? All of his promises to us? I'm going to quote a bunch of them, and it's going to be very quick, but they're in your Bible. I promise you that. How many know how to stand on the promises of God? I mean, when you learn how to stand on the promises of God, your life will totally change. Amen? You'll never be the same whenever you look at it. Now listen, if God makes you a promise and you act in faith, God is obligated, if he said it, to do it. I mean, for instance, salvation. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart unto salvation, you'll be what? You'll be saved. God's not going to say, well, I said that, but I didn't mean it. No, God meant it. Amen? So whatever his promises are, they are given to us. They're given to us for the reason that we can fulfill the very ministry, and we can fulfill all the things that God has called us to be and to do and whatever. And here's some things that I believe are just absolutely incredible. Every time I get up every morning. Now, listen, you've heard me say this, and I'm going to say it until Jesus comes or I die. Amen. I can see you're excited about that too. Amen. I mean, I'm not going to be quiet about this because I know that this is the answer. People say, well, if I just had great faith like you, it has nothing to do with great faith. It has to do with knowing the Word of God, getting it down deep in your heart and living it every day and confessing it every day and knowing that God's going to do what His Word says He's going to do. And so every morning when I get up, most people wait till they get sick and then they begin to quote the Word. I quoted before I would ever be attacked by the enemy. Now I'm fully equipped, amen, to face whatever Satan would throw at me. So every morning, no, I don't get up and turn the TV on every morning and listen to it and then somewhere down the line during the day realize, well, I need to make a confession. You know what you need to do? Every morning when you get up, you ought to make a confession. And I've given you probably 20 scriptures in my lesson, but there's a lot more than that of just the promises of God, who you are, what you have, what you can do. Until you know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ, listen, you're going to live a defeated life. I refuse to live that kind of life. Is that okay? And it gets real quiet when I get on this. Because people say, yeah, your faith is dangerous. Yeah, against the devil. Amen. It's not denial, folks. Listen, sickness is real. Cancer is real. It's killing people every day. Heart conditions, heart disease is killing people every day. Viruses, influenza, all of that is killing people every day. But I believe that we don't have to live there. Well, when are you going to die? Well, when Jesus gets ready to take me. Amen. See, this is really hard to swallow, isn't it? Because we all got this idea, well, we all got to get sick and die. No, you don't have to get sick and die. You can just give up the ghost. When I'm 120, I probably will. Amen. This is how strong I believe in this because I know that it works. And people say, well, there must be a spatial. It's not a spatial faith, folks. It's a matter of just honoring the Word, believing the Word. If God said it, then I believe it. Well, what did God say? Look at Romans 8:35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No, here's what he said. He said, nay, in all these things I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me, that loves you. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're trying to fight everything that's happening in the world today in a carnal sense. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to doing what? Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every thought that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our responsibility, but if you don't believe it, it won't happen. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Keep reading and you go to verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he goes on, the scriptures to follow and says, put on the full armor of God. Now listen to me. I don't get up every morning and put on the full armor of God. I wear it to bed. Amen. I wear it wherever I go. I'm wearing the armor of God. Now stop and think about this. The helmet of salvation, it's to protect your thinking. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is acceptable in the perfect will of God. We've got to get our minds renewed. Well, you can't get your minds renewed as far as the things of God until you get in this book called the Bible and begin to find out what God has to say about things. We need to spend more time, folks, right here. I believe this with all my heart. Need to spend it in God's Word. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What about 2 Timothy 1:7? God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of what? What do you have? He said, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Is that the way you see yourself? That's the way we ought to see ourselves, folks. Amen. I mean, we get up every morning, we think, I mean, I've heard people say that I'm just losing my mind. I wouldn't say that. Amen. You ever said that? I just can't think anymore. I can't. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. How many know where that's at? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat what? You're going to eat the fruit thereof. Quit speaking negative to your body. I'm sick today. I don't feel good today. People say, well, that's denial. No, I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. And faith is what will bring you out of sickness and disease and all of those things the devil will throw at you. What about James 4:7? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Here's one of my favorite in Psalms 91. Psalms 91, verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Keep reading. And it says, he satisfies us with long life and shows us his salvation. You believe that? I mean, we've got to embrace these things, folks. There's a battle to be fought, and you're not going to win it fighting it with the flesh. You're going to win it by taking the Word of God and getting it down on the inside of you. Every time when I get up in the morning, every morning when I get up, I start, I'm in the shower and I'm doing this, man, I'm getting excited. Amen. That's what the Word will do. You start quoting it, you'll get excited. Amen. And all of a sudden, the anointing will come all over you. You know, the anointing has healing power. What a good way to start your day. It's the best way. I challenge you to do it. Your life will be changed. I believe forever it will. When it happened to me, I thought, man, this is the way of life. This is the way to be done. Now, I'm looking forward at a real good day. Doesn't mean it's going to be a good day, but at least I'm prepared for any kind of a bad day that would come. I like Proverbs 4:20. Through 22. My son, listen to this. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, the spiritual eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now listen to what it says. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. You know, this is kind of a funny thing, but this is the gospel. Amen. Are you getting it? This is medicine right here. This is the gospel. You take this pill every day and you look at things a whole lot different than maybe you are looking at things. Here's Isaiah 53:5. Prophesied about Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes you are what? You are healed. But then we go to 1 Peter 2:24, and it says this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live, listen, unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were. Is were past, present, or future? Oh, where's my English majors? It's past, amen, were. By his stripes ye were healed. So you've got to understand the price has already been paid for your healing. Just like it's already been paid for your salvation. Jesus doesn't have to come and die again so you could be saved and born again. He's already died. He's already bore the stripes upon his back for your healing. It's already been given. It's just there for, it's a promise that's already been given for you just to accept by faith. Well, it gets better, I think. What about 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all, now listen, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become what? When I first got into ministry, I wanted to learn the chemistry of salvation. Forget it. You'll never learn it. I mean, how can you explain, just like Brother John was saying this morning, how the God basically took you out of the pit, you know? How do you explain that? How do you explain the chemistry of it? You can't. It's chemistry beyond what any scientist could ever come up with. It's an act of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Whenever I got saved, I tell you what, I felt like that. You wouldn't think a 15-year-old would have any kind of a burdens, but it just felt like that everything was lifted. I felt so free that I could have jumped 10 feet in the air. That's the power of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Philippians 4:19. But my God, I don't know how many times I've quoted this, thousands of times, but my God shall supply my every need according to his riches in glory. 1 Peter 5:7. This is what a lot of people need to do. It says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. What about 2 Peter 1:4? Boy, this is a good one. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then what about 1 John 5:14-15? 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence. How much confidence you have in God's word? I don't have any confidence in my flesh, but I have a lot in his word. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, what is his will? His word is his will. Anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, that we have the petitions that we ask of him. See, boy, I don't know what it's doing to you, but that blesses me. What about Romans 4:20-21? I like this because it speaks of Abraham. Listen, there was a time that Abraham and Sarah, they certainly did doubt. But here's what Romans 4 says. It says, he, Abraham, staggered. He came to a place that he no longer staggered at the promises of God, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and became fully persuaded that what God said, God was able to perform, and God did. What about 2 Corinthians 5:7? It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a shame that most Christians will walk by sight and how they feel rather than walking by faith. Listen, I'm just here to tell you, I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying God's word works. I don't know any other way to tell you this other than the way I am telling you, from the standpoint that we've got to get serious. If we're going to be a part of this rising army, we've got to get serious about the word of God. We've got to get serious about everything that's happening in the world today. Listen, I'm in this world just like you are, but I'm not of this world. And neither are you if you're a Christian. Here's what Galatians, and I'm closing. Believe it or not, I'm closing. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know what the curse of the law was? It was spiritual death. It was poverty and sickness and disease. And the Bible says that he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's what I've been talking about all morning long, almost to noon or afternoon. A couple more scriptures. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways and He'll direct your path. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say? God be for us, who can be against us? I want to give you this one because I've used it a lot. In Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Anytime a voice rises up, and Satan's voice is the biggest one, he says, you're going to get sick, you're going to die, you're going to be poor, you're never going to make it in life. Listen, the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. Are you going to believe him, or are you going to believe what Jesus Christ is saying? And then again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Got to watch what you're saying about yourself. Can I have an amen? Be careful what you're saying about yourself. Begin to see yourself the way Jesus sees you. Life will change drastically. Listen, we all have bad days. Don't ever tell me you don't have a bad day. Jesus had bad days. Amen. Believe it or not, he had bad days. To be crucified, I think, would be a pretty bad day, wouldn't it? But he stood victorious. And you and I can do the very same. Come on, stand with me.